evidence. But that wasn't it either, said Dr. Calvin thoughtfully. Oh, eventually the ship and others like it became government property. The jump through hyperspace was perfected, and now we actually have human colonies on the planets of some of the nearer stars. But that wasn't it. I had finished eating and watched her through the smoke of my cigarette. It's what has happened to the people here on Earth in the last 50 years that really counts. When I was born, young man, we had just gone through the last World War. It was a low point in history, but it was the end of nationalism. Earth was too small for nations, and they began grouping themselves into regions. It took quite a while. When I was born, the United States of America was still a nation, and not merely a part of the northern region. In fact, the name of the corporation is still United States Robots. And the change from nations to regions, which has stabilized our economy and brought about what amounts to a golden age when this century is compared with the last, was also brought about by our robots. You mean the machines, I said. The brain you talked about was the first of the machines, wasn't it? Yes, it was. But it's not the machines I was thinking of. Rather, of a man. He died last year. Her voice was suddenly deeply sorrowful. Or at least, he arranged to die because he knew we needed him no longer. Stephen Byerly. Yes, I guess that was who you meant. He first entered public office in 2032. You were only a boy then, so you wouldn't remember the strangeness of it. His campaign for the mayoralty was certainly the queerest in history. Francis Quinn was a politician of the new school. That, of course, is a meaningless expression, as are all expressions of the sort. Most of the new schools we have were duplicated in the social life of ancient Greece, and perhaps, if we knew more about it, in the social life of ancient Sumeria and in the lake dwellings of prehistoric Switzerland as well. But to get out from under what promises to be a dull and complicated beginning, it might be best to state hastily that Quinn neither ran for office nor canvassed for votes, made no speeches, and stuffed no ballot boxes, any more than Napoleon pulled the trigger at Austerlitz. And since politics makes strange bedfellows, Alfred Lanning sat at the other side of the desk with his ferocious white eyebrows bent far forward over eyes in which chronic impatience had sharpened to acuity. He was not pleased. The fact, if known to Quinn, would have annoyed him not the least. His voice was friendly, perhaps professionally so. I assume you know Stephen Byerly, Dr. Lanning. I have heard of him. So have many people. Yes, so have I. Perhaps you intend voting for him at the next election. I couldn't say. There was an unmistakable trace of acidity here. I have not followed the political currents, so I'm not aware that he is running for office. He may be our next mayor. Of course, he is only a lawyer now, but Great Oaks... Yes, interrupted Lanning, I have heard the phrase before, but I wonder if we can get to the business at hand. We are at the business at hand, Dr. Lanning. Quinn's tone was very gentle. It is to my interest to keep Mr. Byerly a district attorney at the very most, and it is to your interest to help me do so. To my interest? Come. Lanning's eyebrows hunched low. Well, say then to the interest of the U.S. Robot and Mechanical Men Corporation. I come to you as Director Emeritus of Research because I know that your connection to them is that of, shall we say, elder statesmen. You are listened to with respect, and yet your connection with them is no longer so tight but that you cannot possess considerable freedom of action, even if the action is somewhat unorthodox. Dr. Lanning was silent a moment, chewing the cud of his thoughts. He said more softly, I don't follow you at all, Mr. Quinn. I am not surprised, Dr. Lanning. But it's all rather simple. Do you mind? Quinn lit a slender cigarette with a lighter of tasteful simplicity, and his big boned face settled into an expression of quiet amusement. We have spoken of Mr. Byerly, a strange and colorful character. He was unknown 3 years ago. He is very well known now. He is a man of force and ability, and certainly the most capable and intelligent prosecutor I have ever known. Unfortunately, he is not a friend of mine. I understand, said Lanning, mechanically. He stared at his fingernails. I have had occasion, continued Quinn, evenly, in the past year to investigate Mr. Byerly. Quite exhaustively. It is always useful, you see, to subject the past life of reform politicians to rather inquisitive research. If you knew how often it helped. He paused to smile humorlessly at the glowing tip of his cigarette. But Mr. Byerly's past is unremarkable. A quiet life in a small town, a college education, a wife who died young, an auto accident with a slow recovery, law school, coming to the metropolis, an attorney. Francis Quinn shook his head slowly, then added, but his present life. Ah, that is remarkable. Our district attorney never eats. Lanning's head snapped up, old eyes surprisingly sharp. Pardon me? Our district attorney never eats. The repetition thumped by syllables. I'll modify that slightly. He has never been seen to eat or drink. Never. Do you understand the significance of the word? Not rarely, but never. I find that quite incredible. Can you trust your investigators? I can trust my investigators, and I don't find it incredible at all. Further, our district attorney has never been seen to drink, in the aqueous sense as well as the alcoholic, nor to sleep. There are other factors, but I should think I have made my point. Lanning leaned back in his seat, and there was the rapt silence of challenge and response between them, and then the old roboticist shook his head. No.